Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So I entitled this message, Jesus Speaks a Better Word. I love that. I love that phrase. He speaks a better word than anything you think or anything man can tell you. Jesus' word trumps it. So we're going to get into that a little bit today. There's a whole book written on this. So the book, I should tell you, it's called Crash the Chatterbox. If you struggle with your thought life, I highly recommend it. It's by Steve Furtick, and awesome book. Anyway, so I think that if you struggle with control issues or perfectionism, jealousy, depression, a lot of things start right here. By the time they're already active in your life, they've already found a home up here somehow. So today I hope that through this just, you know, little message here, this little coffee talk with you, that maybe we can recognize how to know when what you're hearing is the voice of God and when it's not. And maybe some practical ways to kind of rein it in, okay? So the first thing, I've got three C's today. So our first C is conviction. So you can put that slide up, Jesse. Yeah. So you all know what conviction is, right? The conviction of the Holy Spirit. I actually tried to, you know, research this a little bit scripturally, and I found that honestly, true conviction, and when it comes on a person, it draws them to repentance, which usually involves, with the examples in the Bible, weeping and a deep sorrow, a true sorrow. And so you know that it's conviction in your life if it lines up with God's word. Conviction will always be something that you can find in God's word. Whatever it is that that voice is telling you that you need to change, it should line up with God's word. It will also draw you closer to God when it's conviction. It will draw you into the presence of God if it's conviction. It will cause you to become more like Christ if it's conviction. And so I think that there are sometimes those voices in our head, the self-talk that we have, like, you really shouldn't be watching that. You know, that's okay. That kind of self-talk is okay. The problem is that sometimes conviction crosses a line, and it's a very thin line, into condemnation. And that's our second C. Steve Furtick says that condemnation's greatest talent is imitation. Its greatest talent is imitation, meaning that so many times we mix up conviction and condemnation. Condemnation is the voice of the enemy. And you know how you will know? I think conviction brings life. Condemnation brings death. That's one way of knowing. More practically, just like I said, how conviction draws you into the presence of God, condemnation will never draw you closer to God. In fact, it makes you feel bad. It makes you feel guilty. It makes you feel like, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read his word. I can't worship like those people worship. And it's all that self-talk that goes on in our heads that we're just, this is who we are and we'll never be any different. And we make a mistake and we just dwell on it. And we tell ourselves, you know, like, do you have those voices? Is it just me? Like, you're a terrible person. You know, like, who do you think you are? You call yourself a Christian or, you know. And the thing I love about this is you don't even have to be a believer. I think that this just goes, whether you're a new believer or you've been saved years, we all struggle with our self-talk. We all do if we're honest, I think. Hebrews 5:14 says, and I think I have a slide, solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So what is the scripture telling me? That when I am mature in Christ, that's when I can distinguish good from evil. And so take that now and apply it to your thoughts. When you are mature in Christ, you will be able to distinguish what's the voice of God convicting you, the Holy Spirit convicting you, and what is the voice of the enemy condemning you. So do you see how this goes? Do you remember what I said? When it's the enemy, he will never draw you into his presence, into God's presence. That includes reading the word, that includes worship, that includes prayer. That includes coming here on a Sunday. That includes joining in the fellowship of believers. But this is telling me that in order for me to be able to distinguish, I kind of need to do those things because those are the disciplines that cause me to be mature. So do you get the enemy? Do you get what he's doing here? Do you see the plan? It's like, if I can cause this person to feel so bad about themselves or be such a jealous person or be such a perfectionist or whatever it is that you struggle with in your thought life, those things that you tell yourself or that go on up here that aren't God, that aren't even according to his word, they keep you from becoming more mature, therefore being able to call out the devil when he's messing with you. I mean, sometimes I'll tell my friends, just call it out. Just tell the devil to leave you alone. Just call it out. Bring it out to light. Stand in the middle of your house and tell him, you know what? You're not going to lie to me this way. Just because I didn't get that job doesn't mean that I won't get that one. Just because this relationship failed doesn't mean that I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. I'm 17, Lord. Someone will come along. But, you know, that's the, you know, what is it with me? Did I smell? Do I have bad breath? Am I just not a nice person? Did I do something wrong? Right? All this self, that's self-talk. I don't have a good enough education. They're never going to want me for that job. I just got fired from my last one, and that's going to be on my record. And all these things that we tell ourselves that just kind of cause us to not move forward. If the enemy can keep you away from reading God's word, he's already won the battle. Because you won't know the right from the wrong. And in these last days, scripture talks about false teachers. How are you going to know if it's a false teacher if you don't know what's right? I have some people tell me the most bizarre things, and I'm like, okay, like, can you show me in the word where that is? Just point out the scripture to me. But they're believing it because perhaps even a preacher said it. And I don't know. I probably use this example so many times, and you probably heard it, but I think it bears repeating because I always think of when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and all the Israelites stayed down at the bottom, and they sent him to go hear from God. And everything in me says, why don't you all go up there and hear from God yourself? It's not just for the pastor to go and hear from God and then come and just spit it out to you. You all have the ability and capability to grab a hold of this word, whatever version suits you, whatever version speaks to you. Get the word in you so you know the truth. So when the lie comes that says there is no hope, there is no healing, that you can say, oh, excuse me, I beg to differ. And you call out those scriptures. I remember times just standing in the middle of my house, just reaming off scripture, just yelling them out into the atmosphere of my home, because no devil's going to take my child. No devil is going to take my husband. No devil is going to break up this family. No devil on this earth is going to bring depression upon my home. You can do the same thing. You can do the same thing, and so I encourage you to. So know the difference, but that is what the enemy is trying to do. Because there's something about when we're under condemnation, we don't want to get into the word. There's something about it that just makes it uncomfortable. And so call it out. Rise above it. Rise above the emotions that you're feeling. Get that voice to quiet in your head. I promise you, as you call out truth, the lies fade and fade and fade until they are no more. It's getting the strength to do it, the maturity to do it. A lot of times I have talked to people, mainly women, come and talk to me, and they're struggling with different things. You know, as women, we just process things kind of emotionally and up here more probably than men do. And I just say, so, like, are you in the Word? And more time, I mean, I don't want to give a percentage on it, but very often they're not. Most of the time they're not. But, you know, I kind of knew that. And it's not a judgmental thing because, hey, I've been there. But if you're struggling with things, get in the Word. Even if you just got to read the Psalms, just get in the Word. Think that the enemy longs to leave us battle-worn, beat up, helpless, hopeless, listless, paralyzed, and depressed. I've seen more depressed Christians probably in the last 10 years of ministry than I've seen my whole life. I want to just say here, I am not trying to explain depression. My dad was a psychiatrist. I have a heavy respect for mental illness, if you understand what I mean by that. But I do believe that there's a spiritual component to depression, along with the psychological and the physical, okay? And I'm not here to debate that. But one of the greatest marks of depression is a sense of hopelessness. All hope is gone. Nothing will ever change. This is always how it's going to be. We sit and we see someone like Robin Williams take his own life, and we're just all like, what in the world? And we wonder how that stinking enemy, along with the chemical things that were going on with him because of his other physical illnesses, but that stinking enemy, that there is no hope, that my life will always be this, that is a lie from the devil. He is our hope. Our hope is in Jesus. I love that we sang that song last today. I was just like, yes, our hope is in Jesus. You got to get back connected with him. But the thing is, condemnation pulls us away from his presence. Push back against the flow of it, people. Push back against it. Find your hope. Find your hope in him. Not in, you know, girlfriends who can sit and talk to you for hours. You have it within you. He is our strength and our weakness. He is strong. Things will get better. I'm so glad Jesus speaks a better word. Isaiah 1:18. You can go to the next slide. I just put the references up there if you want to write them down. I'm just going to quickly go through these. Isaiah 1:18. God tells me that though my sins were like scarlet, they are now white as snow. Catch the tense. They were as red as scarlet, but he makes them presently and for the future white as snow. Luke 8:2, Jesus spoke a better word over my favorite biblical character, Mary Magdalene. That woman was possessed with seven demons. Seven demons she was possessed with. But Jesus came and he spoke a better word over her. And then she was the first one he appeared to when he rose again. She was the first one. And after she was delivered, she just followed him. I've just always admired her because I feel like Jesus delivered me probably more demons than that as a teenager. And for the rest of my life, I want to be like her, just sitting at Jesus' feet. Where's Sue? She's, go find Jesus, and she's probably there. And I'm not saying that I've obtained that, but that's my goal. If someone wants to know where Sue is, just go find Jesus and you'll find her there, because she's sitting at his feet, so that he will appear to me, so that my life will reflect him. Because when condemnation comes on you and you have that negative self-talk, it bleeds out of you sideways in your actions, in the way you talk to people. If you have low self-esteem, it's going to bleed out sideways in jealousy. Because we like to put others down to make ourselves feel better. Jesus spoke a better word over the prodigal son in Luke 15:24. He was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. Jesus spoke the better word. Think about all the things the prodigal son did. But Jesus spoke a better word over him, delivered him out of that, so that he could move on into an awesome future. No matter where you were, there's a future from this point on, and the voice of condemnation has no place in this mind, in this renewed mind. I don't think I did a slide of this one. Romans. You want to go to Romans today? 12. 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. When you're in Christ, your mind should be renewed. And if you struggle with self-talk, maybe it's a daily thing for you, that you wake up and you say, today I am believing that Jesus is speaking a better word, that he has got something better for me. The enemy wants to hold me back in discouragement and hopelessness, but my Jesus is speaking a better word over me. He is renewing my mind. If I could, I just want to share just a personal story that relates to this in hopes that it will help you. I'm not going to give names, but there was a time in my life, we lived somewhere else, and I was teaching a Sunday morning Sunday school class to adults, one of my favorite things to do. So I was just going at it. I kind of can do that sometimes. I was just feeling like the people that were there were just receiving. It was just a great morning. And we had two services at that church, and so Sunday school was in the middle. And I was on the worship team back then. And so this was in between the first and second service. And after I finished teaching, somebody who I know very well came up to me and just laid into me. Just like did not speak a better word. You know what I'm saying? Like if there's a better word, this was on the other end of the spectrum. Just like, who do you think you are? Like literally, that's what she said to me. You're such a fake. You teach all that stuff. You don't live it. Like, oh, hi, serpent. Where'd you come from? But at the time, you know, like, it just destroyed me. I just, like, stood there. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I just, like, didn't say a word. I just stood there, like, frozen. And she went on for a while. And then when she came up for breath, I just took that opportunity to get out of there because I thought I'm just going to lose it here, you know, any minute. I grew up in an abusive home, so I don't do well with conflict, and I don't do well. Well, I don't know anyone that does well, but I know some people that just would have said, excuse me, and, you know, gone back at them, but I didn't. I just, like, took it and went in the back, and I knew I had to go up on the worship team for the second service. I'm like, Lord, how in the world I feel this big? And of course, everything that she said went in, and then my self-talk just kept like, you know, she's right. Who do you think you are? Why am I remember? You know, everything she said just kept repeating back in my mind. Ever, you don't have to raise your hands, but ever been in a situation like that? You know, whether it was a parent or a boss or, and, you know, one thing I've learned about the difference between Randy and I, there are many, but if you've never noticed, but, you know, it works, so that's all that matters, is that he can, like, you know, process things a lot quicker, like water off a duck's back, as they say. Me, I'm like, I had a joke with a friend that I beat a dead horse, I resuscitate it, bring it back to life so that I can beat it again. That's me. So, like, the opposite, you know, literally, you find me a horse and I'll just beat that thing down and come on back, because I need to, you know, I analyze, I overanalyze, my imagination goes, so you get the picture. I am not a good candidate for somebody to just verbally vomit on me, which is what I feel like she did. So anyway, I got up and I, you know, did the worship thing, and I don't know how I held it together. I think just the grace of God, because my voice, I don't even really, I think I mouthed most of the words because my voice was like trembling because I was, you know, that lump that's sitting right there, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I need to let this go because I'm starting to get a migraine. You know, it causes all kinds of tension in your body when you hold back crying. So I'm up there doing that. As soon as worship was over, I went out the side door, got in my car, drove up to this place in that town, city, that's pretty abandoned, and just wailed in my car for a long time. And for days I was paralyzed. I was just paralyzed. I couldn't move forward. I couldn't do anything. I mean, I brushed my teeth and put on my clothes. I could do that kind of stuff, but emotionally, I couldn't deal with anything. I, you know, good thing my kids were young, you know, because I just was on autopilot, and I just struggled so much. That's condemnation, folks. And it took me, I wish I would have had this book then, but God, in his grace and his mercy, took me through that process and spoke to my heart and said, you know what? If there is truth in it, let me show you that. But the rest, file it away under G for garbage. This is not my voice. Are there things you can learn from it? Absolutely. But should you carry this for the rest of your life and let it affect who you are? Honestly, folks, had I let that self-talk go on repeat in my mind, I would not be standing here today. I wouldn't be. I don't know where I'd be, but I wouldn't be speaking ever again. I wouldn't be sharing my heart with people. I wouldn't be sharing personal stories, bless you. I wouldn't be vulnerable with people. Because when you get attacked like that, it makes you close off, right? I mean, it makes you just not want to really be open with people anymore. But I thank God for taking me through that. But see, I remember it today, like, clearly. And I totally have forgiven that person because they're in my life, someone very close to me. I love her. I think she was mistaken. I think she acted out of something. And I want to tell you this, that where words originate from, that person is accountable for. You are not. I want you to hear that. Where those negative words that have been spoken over you originate from are not yours to take. It originated there. Now, the moment they leave that body and that spirit and that mind, and they float through the air and they come to you, then you're accountable for what you do with them. But I want you to be free from condemnation. Not do I want you to, but Jesus wants you to be free from condemnation. Because that's not his word. And the thing is, it affects how we go on with our lives. I thought of this, one of my favorite stories is a story of the conversion of Saul to Paul. And if you don't know it, read it. It's a great story, but he was just like this Christian hater, you know, and literally converted into like this amazing man of God who wrote all those books in the New Testament. And this summer I met someone in India that I think is the closest to a Saul Paul conversion, like real life person. When I was in India, the man that runs the boys' orphanage, he was a Hindu, and he remembers watching his father light a car on fire with a missionary and his 12-year-old son in it. They were radical Hindus, violent Hindus. And God grabbed a hold of his life 13 years ago at a Christian rally in southern India. And now he runs a boys' home and he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus speaks a better word over Ashish. Jesus spoke a better word over him. Can you imagine if all he would ever think about is the things that he did? Even Paul, he would have no ministry if he lived under the condemnation self-talk. There would be no Paul as we know him. Think about it. And so I'm asking you, what are the things that you could be doing? I don't care how old you are. It's never too late to step out from under that negative self-talk that you have going on that keeps you from what God is calling you to. I don't care if that boy broke your heart. Trust me, there'll be plenty of them that might still break your heart. But that's not what life is about. You don't want to be dating some other woman's husband anyway. Just wait for the right one and then concentrate on him. That's my advice to you young women. You have no business dating someone else's spouse. That's what I tell my kids. You wait until it's the right one and then go about your business. But, you know, there's just so many things. I'm trying to touch on the things that affect every age. But wherever you're at, if you're older, like me, and there's just things that are keeping you under condemnation, keeping you from the ministry that God has for you. And when I mean ministry, I don't necessarily mean a platform ministry. I mean just at your job. Because all that junk and all that negative self-talk, it doesn't stay up there. It bleeds out sideways in your behavior. And that's what causes us not to necessarily be the light. Our last C today is confidence. Because I believe that's how it should end, is with confidence. Once you determine the difference between the goodness of conviction and the dangers of condemnation and your negative self-talk, you need to walk in confidence. Not arrogance, but confidence, godly confidence. The next slide, Hebrews 4:16. These are just, do you know how many scriptures there are about confidence? I was actually shocked. Too many for me to write up there, but if you ever want to do a study on it, and I don't think that I didn't like study the actual original meaning or anything like that, and there could be different meanings of it than what our society knows, but I think it's the same gist, like a confidence, just an assurity. Hebrews 4:16, then let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Self-talk will say when you're under condemnation or you feel like you're If you're a perfectionist, perfectionism is the voice of the accuser. Because it always tells you that you're not doing things good enough. Well, duh, you never will, so let it go. No one is perfect. We are to be transformed into the image of Christ. We are not to be transformed into perfect people. Perfectionism is the voice of the accuser when it tells you that you're not good enough. Jesus speaks a better word and he says, come to my throne of grace with confidence. I have redeemed you. I have saved you. Though your sins were as scarlet, they are now white as snow. Hebrews 10:36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Philippians 1:8. And I am sure of this, or confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it. Give God more credit than you're giving the voice of the enemy. Proverbs 3:26. For the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught. And Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Have confidence in that. If you struggle with depression, I want you to go home. I want you to get out your Bible. I want you to look up every single verse that talks about our hope. Where does our hope come from? It comes from the hills. My hope comes from the Lord God Almighty. And I'm going to write that down and I'm going to stick it on my mirror. So when I wake up in the morning and I'm struggling with a feeling like it's just not going to get better than this, that Jesus speaks a better word over your life. Someone I know, Jenna, which I actually thought was kind of cool this week, posted a little time hop. If you don't know what that is, don't even worry about it. I'm not even going to waste time explaining it. But it's this quote which goes along with today really well. It says, if you had a friend who spoke to you in the same way that you sometimes speak to yourself, how long would you allow that person to be your friend? Think about that. I try to be a cheerleader. It's just in me. I was in high school. I think there's a spirit of cheerleader. We should all be cheerleaders. When we have friends struggling, point them to the one who speaks a better word over them. Our hope is not in flesh and blood. I don't want to see the church struggle with depression. That depression, ma'am, is keeping you from what God's called you to. And then the enemy's won the day, hasn't he? I really felt like earlier that I really feel like doing a little bit of an altar time. Those of you that have to go, but I think that there are some people that really struggle with what's going on up here. I think depression's a big one. And there's no shame in it. But Jesus wants to set you free. Because I'm just thinking there's some world changers in this room. There are some world changers that have such negative self-talk, they're paralyzed. They can't bring themselves out of it. But man, I'm a young woman who grew up with a dad that verbally and physically abused me. I'm a woman who grew up, or is a product of a divorced home. I'm a woman that struggled with an eating disorder. I'm a woman that as a young adult, a teenager, struggled with getting my self-worth from guys who relied on the outward appearance. beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And that's the better word over my life. The word of this world says, statistically, I should be divorced. Statistically, I should have beat my kids. Statistically, you know, I'd be a messed up. But Jesus, when I was 16, spoke a better word over my life. And I'm so grateful for it. And the things that he saved you from was for a purpose, for a reason. Don't sit in your despair and your hopelessness. Don't allow the enemy to speak the last word over your life.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.